Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
On your mark, get set.
Stop.
Go.
No.
Run this race. Run as hard as you can. Sweat it out. Mike Kapler here with Joel Grzycki.
It's a grueling race, man. I don't know how. I can't keep up.
I know. That's what happens when you start the race at the finish line.
Yeah.
Which is what we get to do.
Right on. Yeah, it's done. Yeah. It's done.
A place
it's finished.
Of rest, right?
It's yes. That's what I think a lot of people who are grueling through this Christian life, just trying to get it right, can't figure out how to get it right. When am I ever going to be sanctified? When am I ever going to be right? And it's already done. It's already done. And you are at the finish line, and that's where you're living your life from right now. That's a good thing to know. It helps a person to breathe, for one thing, and relax and rest.
Huh. It is a great place to be. Grace, God's love, a perfect love that keeps us from fear. I guess I spent a lot of my time, Joel, before my grace days. I guess I spent a lot of it in fear, looking back on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I recognized it at that time, but I had fear of wondering where I stood with God, wondering if he was mad at me, wondering if I was in trouble, what I needed to do to get it right, you know, to make amends, to do something, to try to bring some sort of confidence and assurance to myself. And the problem with that is my confidence became in what I was doing. If I felt like I was doing the right things, I was confident and I could go out and conquer the world, cast out demons and everything else.
Right.
But that's not a very good place to be, because I was up and down, and so was my confidence, which translated into wondering what God thought of me. Where was I for my eternity? Where did I stand? Not a good place to be, but boy, there's a lot of people out there dealing with that day in and day out.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that this podcast is about, helping people who are in that spot. Real quick, lately on Spotify, I think I mentioned this a while back, but it's something that I never knew that a person could do, but you can leave comments on Spotify, and I still haven't figured out how to respond to these, so we had a podcast a few weeks ago, Salvation as a Gift, but What About Sanctification, where we talked about the difference between this idea of progressive sanctification, which is not really a thing, and it being a gift, just like salvation. And on it, we had talked about people are not wanting to put all their eggs in one basket. You know, they think they got to, Jesus died for their sins. You know, Jesus finished work. Yay, yay, yay for Jesus finished work. But I also want to put some of my own works in there. And we talked about, you know, putting your eggs in one basket, that type of thing. So somebody responded, more people need to get all their eggs, forgiveness, righteousness, sanctification, into Christ's salvation basket. You guys are the best thing on the WWW! Exclamation point. Thanks for all you share about God's grace. So thank you for that comment. And then somebody else just a few days before that said, I thank God for you guys. I learned so much from you. Progressive sanctification was all I heard for 30 years. I'm free now with 5 exclamation points. Praise God, 5 exclamation points. I look forward to hearing from you guys every week. So we're thankful that people are out there listening, and it's something that helps to refresh people and to help people to be free, because it is, after all, as I have taped onto my monitor, I've had this for many years, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, Galatians 5:1. And of course, there's context to that. We might talk a little bit about that today, because it's nice to memorize verses. It's all fine and dandy to do that, but you need context. So what, for example, then, what I just read in Galatians 5:1, what is the bondage that the people were in Galatia, you know, when Paul wrote his letter to them? Well, long story short, They had been saved by grace through faith. They had never been under the law. And then these Judaizers were coming in, Jews who believed, and yet they were trying to get these Gentile people to keep the law of Moses. Not only believe in Christ, but to also keep the law of Moses. And that was bondage. That's what Paul called bondage. And he told them, you foolish Galatians, what do you think you're doing with all this? Stand free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened by this yoke of slavery. So there's context there. And it's helpful to know context instead of just reading a verse here and there. When you're looking at the big picture of the Bible, somebody had asked us, you know, how do you sort through all this? I'm paraphrasing a question that was asked. How do you learn about context? How do you know what is context? How do you know what to apply to yourself? This person had written saying that she has a study Bible, and it seems like everything she reads in this study Bible, they're trying to get you to apply what you're reading. Well, some things in the scriptures do not apply to us. We're not trying to get certain things to apply to us. And that sounds like blasphemy to some people, but when you look at context, and maybe we'll talk about some of this stuff, you'll begin to understand which things are written for us to apply and which things were for the Jews, for example, under the Old Covenant and things like that. So we'll talk a little bit about that this week.
Yeah, not just us, but nobody really has the perfect answer for that, bringing things into context, because I've heard people even recently talk about the context of a certain passage or a certain verse or something like that. And yet what they're trying to apply is way out of context. Even though they're talking about the context, they're approaching it from a particular point of view or a particular mindset. And so how you interpret things is largely sometimes going to be based on a certain perspective that you have already established within your own mindset. And so it's easy for people to make the writings in the Bible say almost anything they want them to say. Mm-hmm. I've seen it over and over again. It's fascinating. And sometimes people can just have an honest difference of opinion, an honest difference of interpretation. I understand that. There are even grace-minded people who will see things differently. Right. You know, we've had people disagree with us on certain things. I've even come to disagree with myself from time to time. As time goes by, I can begin to see something differently than the way I used to see it 5, 10, or 20 years ago. And that may be a sign of growing and maturing in our walk of grace. But it is fascinating, though, to me, Joel, I mentioned this to you before, that some people will read some of the same passages, the same writings, the same verses, and come to sometimes some pretty radically very different conclusions and interpretations, even though they may agree on many other things. I mean, I get it for some who have just kind of got their roots in legalism and things that are almost the opposite of everything you and I talk about. There's probably not going to be a whole lot of agreement there, because people have been so established in a particular works-based mindset or whatever man-made doctrine that they've been raised in. But then there are those who have come into grace. They've been released and freed into God's perfect love and a better understanding of what the gospel really is, and still will come to many different conclusions based on what they're reading in the Bible. And even that sometimes is based on what we think the Bible is. You know, like if you think something we've talked about, for example, to come to something real easy here for us, if you think Jesus and the red letters are always speaking to you, that Jesus was always talking to you, whenever he was talking to his disciples, I've heard this before in church, if Jesus was talking to his disciples, that means he was talking to us. So if you have that mindset as that's the truth, that was a true statement, then you'll interpret everything from that statement, whether it was true or not. And so it's fascinating to me how we take this collection of booklets and almost begin to worship it instead of the one to whom they, you know, instead to the of the one to whom the writings bear witness, which of course is God and his son Jesus Christ.
So a big part of this would be allowing time and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in understanding things. Just for example, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about 1 John 1:9, and we did a little series on forgiveness, and we ended up talking about how confession, it's not confession of sins through which we've been forgiven, but it's the blood of Jesus. And then 1 John 1:9, and how many people will say that if you, as a believer, confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all sins. And we talked about how the first part of that epistle from John, that first, what we know as first as a chapter, he was addressing a certain issue that was going on in Ephesus. I think it was Ephesus at that time. And so how do I know that John doesn't mention Ephesus? And he doesn't mention that he was writing to Gnostics, which is what we talked about, that there were Gnostic believers who didn't believe that Jesus had come in the flesh and who didn't believe that sin was an issue, and they were sin deniers. Well, how do we know that? Well, for one thing, I think we don't know that we know that, but I have heard other teachers talk about that, and I have a PC study Bible that has several different references in it, and one was, I think, the Nelson Study Bible, and I read up on Gnostics in that, and it all began to make sense that John was addressing the Gnostic issue in the early church. And so I wouldn't have known that if I wouldn't have heard it from other people. So that's one way that you can learn about context. Like this person was asking about historical context. How do I know? How do I find that stuff out? Well, sometimes you don't know. And sometimes you can, you know, do some searching for things on the internet. It's very good that today we have resources on the internet, and then you'll find myriads of different things. And so, yes, you have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into understanding things like that. And when you're reading the Bible, for example, Paul said in Romans 2, he said that it's not the hearers of the law who are justified, but it's the doers of the law. And for years, I thought, what? I mean, that just doesn't make sense, because in the next chapter, he says it's not the doers of the law. It's not those who, it's not by the deeds of the law that people are justified. It's by grace through faith. And so it took me a long time, but eventually I began to understand that Paul was making a case that if it's up to the deeds of the law, then yeah, it can't, you can't just be a hearer of it. You have to be a doer of it. However, he's building up to something else in which he's making the case that there is actually no doer of the law. No one is good. No one is righteous. And then righteousness and justification only comes by grace through faith. So things like that, it came about through time and through asking the Holy Spirit to help me to learn and to understand things, for wisdom. Yeah, you know, things like that. So there are myriads of ways, and same with the words of Jesus. I remember when it clicked in my head when Paul said in Romans 3:19, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Man, waves of understanding came, because I began to understand that Jesus was not always talking to me as a Christian believer, kind of like what you were talking about, Cap. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to people who were under the law, and that was not for me. That was for those who were under the law. So I began to understand that when I read the words of Jesus, he was teaching those who were under the law for the purpose that the law was given. You know, it was to shut mouths and make people guilty, and it was the ministry of bondage, and it led up to the ministry of grace through faith, you know, salvation by grace through faith. It led to the time of faith in Jesus Christ. So there's just a few ideas of how to, and again, it's just a general idea. You know, each person is different, and your relationship with the Holy Spirit is different than mine, and you may come to the same or different conclusions as you look into these things.
Yeah, I think probably a real key nugget for starters is understanding the difference between the first covenant that God had made with Israel and Israel made with God, compared to something that occurred at the time of the cross and resurrection.
Yes.
When that covenant became obsolete because it was weak and useless, it was ineffective, and something happened at the time of the shedding of the blood of Jesus, a different covenant But if we're mixing those two covenants, then our perspectives are also going to get mixed up. We're going to have a serious inconsistency in much of what we talk about and believe, and it leaves us wanting more, you know, kind of leaving us in a place of uncertainty, doubt, sometimes fear, like we talked about before. And so that's always a good starting point. And recognizing what that new covenant that replaced the old, what it did, what it brought, the difference between those things, the struggle the Jews had under that first covenant. But you're making some good points, though, here. We mentioned Jesus specifically talking to people, and it wasn't always talking to us. He wasn't always talking to us directly. And even the apostles, when they were writing letters to people or writing down their witness accounts in the four Gospels, they weren't necessarily writing to us. They were writing to people of their day, sometimes addressing issues that they were concerned about at that time. That doesn't mean that we can't learn from everything that was written.
Right.
So there's a lot to embrace, a lot to grow in and understand. And I like what you said earlier, too, that the Holy Spirit really wants to be the teacher. Unfortunately, we're weak human beings, and the Holy Spirit isn't always our teacher. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, or we start relying on what other people are saying. But he's still there. He still wants to lead, guide, and reveal all truth to each and every person. And that's kind of really what it boils down to. But Joel, this idea that everything in the Bible is meant to be some sort of practical application for our lives today, that'll get people going in all kinds of different directions, and usually not the right ones.
Nope. Yeah, that's true. It's there's so many different purposes for the things that the people wrote. And so it's the beauty of it is that it's a lifetime of growing. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to understand it all right now. I remember us going through the book of Hebrews, you know, several years ago, and still having not quite a good understanding of it. And then we went through the book of Hebrews a few times on this podcast, and we gained understanding each time. And I think and different things stuck out to us. Things from the past that we learned made more sense now, things like that. So, you know, don't put it all upon yourself to learn everything right now and to know everything. You may make some mistakes. You may try applying something that really you don't need to, or you may not apply something that you probably should, you know, things like that. The good thing is that the Holy Spirit is your guide. He never will put you down. You know, there's no condemnation for anything that you do or don't do. So just give yourself some time, relax, rest, allow the Holy Spirit to, and even when you ask a question for wisdom or for understanding on something, you may not get it right away. Sometimes it comes over the course of time, things like that. So just rest and relax and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.